You are listening to episode number 237 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Sorry about last week. My nephew turned 2 last Monday, and I had to fulfill my uncle-y duties by going with him. Turns out, I just ended up staying with my niece because it was a pool party, and I didn't want his mom to stay inside while everybody else played. So I watched with my 6-week-old niece, I watched Voltron with her. She was asleep half the time, but it still counts. So, welcome to the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is old man Whirlybird himself, Jonathan Coatwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi, welcome back, and I'm glad to be back, and I can just yucka bucka bucka bucka.
The fuck?
Next up, we have our editor-in-chief himself, Mr. Brian Powers.
Oh, man. San Diego Comic-Con has come and gone, ladies and gentlemen.
And, of course, because it is the special San Diego Comic-Con edition of this Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, the Black Truth himself, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome back. I was going to say, like, some sort of famous politician from the past, like Booker T. Washington, Malcolm X, somebody, I don't know. But Taser, welcome back.
Well, I came on because certain recent comic developments, and since you ended up skipping a week, we also get the SDCC shit. And I would also like to congratulate you on getting that job that I sent to you. And, you know, I didn't know how that was going to go, but I'm, you know, congrats, man. I'm proud. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. More news on that later. Brian, we missed a week,
which we
probably shouldn't have.
Yeah,
something big happened the week, but I'll let you go into details.
Yeah. Big stuff has transpired. As you know, there is an event going on over at Marvel Comics called Civil War 2, which we haven't gotten around to that yet in the real world, but I'm sure we'll get to it at some point. But basically, what had happened was, at the end of Civil War 2, issue number 2, the future-seeing Inhuman known as Ulysses saw the Hulk pretty much killing everybody. And so, Captain Marvel and Tony Stark, Iron Man, they decided to go to Bruce Banner and sort of try to sort things out. And there is escalating tensions when Bruce Banner is confronted with this, and it seems to be going into a bad place, despite the fact that he claims he has not transformed into the Hulk in over a year. And as Bruce is slowly beginning to get angrier and angrier, out of nowhere, zoom, right through the eyes, he gets hit with a fucking arrow and taken down.
No, one in the back and then one in the head. Yeah, it was two shots. Two shots.
Okay, yeah. That second panel confused me. I'm like, is that just different from my weird angle? Or is
it did. But, you know, that's why. Because when you there's another one when you fall, you actually see two arrows.
Yeah,
he got hit twice.
So, you can probably guess what happened. I mean, unless Kate Bishop finally grew some balls, this was the work of one Mr. Clint Barton, who shot and killed Bruce Banner for fear of him turning into the Hulk and killing just about everybody. And, of course, later in the issue, it was revealed that Bruce Banner had asked Clint to do this should he ever seem to be losing control, and that Clint Barton was fulfilling a last request type deal.
Do we know when that scene is supposed to take place?
It's supposed to have taken place about the year prior to him having been like, oh, I haven't done it in over a year, but they don't really place it in terms of, like, context or whatever. It's just sort
Maybe
of like
you
he comes.
Place it in fucking context, Bendis, because that just seems like a really fucking stupid storytelling.
But that would take away from Bendis's multiple speech bubbles where he gets to talk about being pithy and funny and da 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 da.
You mean try to be Joss Whedon?
Pretty much, yeah. So, Clint Barton gets put on trial for it, and you can guess he probably gets recused, although they don't actually reveal the verdict as to what happened. But given Tony's morose expression, and Tony is more distraught than anybody, even more than Carol Danvers, although Carol Danvers is pretty much like, look, this was going to happen. I mean, and Tony's like, no, it wasn't going to fucking happen. You chased it, etc. So this is just more fuel to the fire of whether or not they should be trusting this guy Ulysses Visions and whatnot. But more importantly, Bruce Banner is dead, folks. He is dead, 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 dead. And
could you say we saw this coming?
I don't know if we saw this coming because, I mean, look, when they launched Totally Awesome Hulk and Amadeus Cho became the centerpiece, you knew it was part of the whole diversity initiative, and that's fine, but it also subsequently launched Bruce Banner kind of into irrelevancy. I mean, he didn't really matter. So I'm not entirely certain what they hope to gain by this except for just killing a guy for shock value, you know? But he didn't
matter. And also, no, wait, diversity! Diversity.
Well, Amadeus Cho has been Hulk for the past 8 months?
Couple of months.
Yeah, several months.
So that's why, like you said, Bruce Banner is irrelevant because we still have Hulk. And all we care about is Hulk, right? Because we don't care about the characters.
I thought it was funny when they first revealed it because when they did that, I thought they were going to go to Bruce and Bruce is going to be like, I'm actually not the Hulk anymore. This guy's the Hulk over here.
In his own book, apparently, he'd been cured.
He didn't get a chance. He didn't get a chance to say it.
Like, where were they in terms of Amadeus Cho being a factor in this decision?
Can I say something about this real quick?
Yeah,
and that why I think this makes Civil War really stupid.
Thinking that now?
Well, I mean, you heard last week's episode.
Ryan Bendis?
Well, that too. But it's more so, it makes Carol look like a horrible person. Because, she basically, instead of, hey, Bruce, are you alright? You know, she sends her fucking attack dogs to basically, maybe subconsciously instigate a Hulk attack so they could stop the Hulk permanently, and in doing so gets a founding Avenger killed, which he'll be back, so it's not whatever. But
I would debate that. I don't think you say permanently. I don't think that would have been her end game, because we're talking Carol and we're talking, you know, Bruce. I think she sent in everybody that she knew, so, you know, considering the amount of people that's been needed to handle the Hulk before Incredible Hulk Volume 1 300. Go
You're
back
correct,
and read it, people.
But
huh?
Consider.
Yeah,
sorry.
You kind of need that. But I think because of what had happened, and she's in no way responsible for it. You know, she wasn't aware of what had happened between Clinton and Bruce. You know, this happens, and
hey Bruce, are you okay?
Because she's assuming responsibility, it's all going to, you know, people are going to look and let it land on her and blah, blah, blah. And Tony, of course.
I actually think Maria Hill comes out looking worse than just about anybody else. I don't know if you
really guys... in this because of
well,
this?
Not only in this, but over. I'm reading Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the series, and they're tying it back into this, and that she is totally unlikable in that series. She is just
Maria
jackbooted
Hill's always
thug
100%. Been unlikable in the comics.
Well, you know what it is, too? Is they make a point of referencing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're coming hot off the heels of fucking Silent Hill that blew up. Or not Silent Hill.
Stop. Konami's going to sue us. Please. I don't want to be a pachinko machine. Please.
Pyramid Head. Now in the Marvel Universe. No. But Pleasant Hill, where she brainwashes these villains.
Do it.
She brainwashes villains and it blew up in her face, and she's still the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff. And so she's mostly just, you know, she's the muscle behind this enforcement, you know, and it's just, she comes out looking worse, I think, than anybody else. I certainly don't like her anymore after this, but maybe that's just me.
I can honestly say that the whole Pleasant Hills thing, which I didn't read because
nobody read it.
Right. But I understand what she was going for, and to be fair, that could have been a whole lot worse than what it was, but, you know, somebody had to find out and it had to go wrong and blah, 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 because that's the nature of all things when you attempt to forcibly pacify and mind control of the people. Like, Identity Crisis. Remember that one? Yeah! So, but considering the things that Marvel had to play with, you know, that wasn't actually a bad way to go. But you knew it was going to go wrong because fucking with people's heads against their will should go wrong, you know? But I give her the nod for at least trying to address the issue without having to do a whole lot of brutal shit to keep people in line.
Fuck Maria Hill. She fired Coulson.
I wouldn't mind fucking Maria Hill. Just saying. She fired who?
She Coulson. Fired Coulson in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic. She fired Phil Coulson.
Nobody cares about the comic. Nobody cares about that comic.
She
Why does
fired
the comic...
him because he kind of agreed with Iron Man. And so she was like, yeah, fuck you. You're fired. Like,
See, she has no overhead. That's the big difference between her and, like, Fury. Because while Fury had overall control and command, Fury knew that, you know, there's a line. She doesn't know. She doesn't recognize the line or want to.
She's been in charge of Marvel, S.H.I.E.L.D. since, what, 2008? Like,
right, but even she has people that she answers to.
Yeah.
But she doesn't suffer any penalty. Fury suffered penalties.
He lost his job and then got stranded on the moon.
Moon. We're wailing on the moon. No, but yeah, and exactly. Look at that penalty. But Maria Hill, she just has stuff bad stuff happen, and then that's it. You know, it's
Taser. I'm gonna let you finish later, but I'm gonna let the white man John go next because he hasn't said anything. So
That's all right because I haven't read it and don't give a shit. It's Brian Michael Bendis.
Well, if I can say just this one thing, the whole story treats the death of Bruce Banner as an afterthought because it's really all about, you know, how Clint did what he did because of what he was told and, you know, how it reflects back to the use of Ulysses and blah, 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 and Tony pointing fingers because Tony likes to point fingers.
It's a pissing match between Tony and Carol, basically. That's what it boils down to.
Kind of, sort of, but, you know, Tony's looking for things that aren't really going to happen or are there because he's always going to blame her no matter what for the death of Rhodey. And, you know, she's not responsible for that either. So this is really about Tony Stark and his emotional fallout from losing Iron Man. From
his best friend.
Yeah, his best friend and a fellow colleague, and it's all out of his control. And it's a
there's one thing
heart,
about Tony Stark,
you know,
is that
thing.
He doesn't like being in control. He likes being in control.
Exactly. But none of this reflects bad on Carol. But none of this actually deals with the death of Bruce Banner. You know, it starts off with the trial of Clint Barton. And even Clint Barton is hardly in it. You know, there's more Iron Man and Carol in this than there is Clint. Clint just says, well, yeah, I did that because I had flashback. And, yeah, that's basically it. And they even went back and verified, oh, well, there's the video and all this other stuff. So the victim... The victim, the 75-year-old hero, doesn't matter in this story. And the nominally 45-year-old hero doesn't matter in this story. The two prime people that should be seriously shown off in this story don't matter. It's all, Carol, I blame you. Carol, I feel sorry. It's
all
disgusting.
All Hulk lives matter.
This was a horrible fucking issue. I just want to say that. This is a horrible fucking
issue. I mean, it's Civil War 2, so it was going to be crap the second it started. It had no chance of being good.
Even still. His death is an afterthought. That's the sad part. His death is an afterthought.
All right.
And you know, Cho's going to go fucking nuts anyway because nothing Ulysses sees is wrong. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay. Brian, John, do you have anything to say before we move on?
I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole, not even with my coworker's 10-foot pole. I don't care. Ooh. I know he's going to be back. Oh, he's taking an acupuncture nap right now. That's all I can. As far as I'm concerned.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
They'll all be back. It'll be a white-dominated Marvel Universe that I love again. It'll be back.
Yeah, it's a particular
It'll be
person
a safe win- place.
If a particular person wins the White House, there you go. Yeah, it'll be all perfect. Anyway,
Donald Trump was the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics.
We're gonna bring Bruce Banner back to Marvel. It's gonna be great.
We're gonna build a wall. To keep the Inhumans out.
Oh my God.
We're gonna send Amadeus Cho back to Korea or wherever he's from.
Oh my God. I want somebody out there, if you're listening to this, I want you to, if you're really good at Donald Trump impersonation, I want you to act like he was trying to get the job of editor-in-chief for Marvel Comics, and he's just biting at DC and Image's ass all the time. I feel like that would be hilarious. These guys already gave an example of it. But we got a long show for you today. We got a lot of Comic-Con stuff to talk about. We're going to break into segments for you guys. So, Brian,
yes, sir.
Give us the deets on what was revealed for the comic reading audience for Marvel
and Comic-Con. Reading material. All right. Yeah, because the cornerstone of any good comic convention is, of course, comic books. Whether or not we, accept that, and, the MCU is a growing juggernaut, but let's take a second to look at what we have for the readers among us, shall we? They announced a second Black Panther comic book series spun off from the new ongoing. It's going to be called World of Wakanda. Ta-Nehisi Coates will be plotting alongside a rotating cast of writers and artists. Let's see. There's going to be a Doctor Strange Punisher team-up series, a little mini-series written called Magic Bullets, written by ex-IDW editor John Barber. And that's actually not
a team-up I would ever really think of in the first 5 minutes of me coming up with two characters. Well,
you know why? Because they claim the impetus for the idea came from the original Sin event way, way back that nobody ever bothered to care about or remember. So,
except for Thor.
Except for Thor. Who still doesn't have his fucking... Never mind. Inhumans versus X-Men series was announced. Co-plotted by Jeff Lemire and Charles Soule. Going to be illustrated by Lionel Francis Yu. It's a 6-issue miniseries. Going to be detailing the events that transpired between... the Inhumans, the X-Men, the conflict that arose out of that. I imagined it being very similar to AVX, personally, but that's just me. And hey, that's really all we have for comic books out of the event, because as you remember, there was a big leak from Marvel the couple weeks beforehand, so all the big announcements kind of got, brought up before the big convention. So, it's only a small, substantive...
Are you talking about the San Diego Comic-Con or the Democratic National Convention?
Bernie's up for a nomination still. He put his name in.
So. No, he's not. Shut the fuck up, all of you fucking Sanders supporters. He's done.
Hashtag Bernie Sanders. Fuck you. Hashtag Steal the Burn.
Do you guys want to witness a live firing on the Marvel Warriors Team Marvel podcast?
A live fire exercise?
I was going to say, didn't we do this when I first debuted, when I reminded you about the Longhorns?
I think so, yeah. But I love it still.
It's the return.
All right, continue, Brian.
It's a reboot.
Oh, that's it for the comics. That's all we got.
I'll say one thing, because these guys can't understand me at a certain point. Hashtag inside jokes. the fact that I'm gonna live in a world where there's gonna be two Doctor Strange books going at the same time, as well as Doctor Fate.
Jizzworthy? Is it jizzworthy?
It's not jizzworthy. It'd be jizzworthy if I get like a Clea miniseries as well, or
It being like Iggy's just walking around and It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong is playing in the background.
That's the theme for the song, the show. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar the Grouch on singing.
Thank you, Oscar. I am no David Letterman, but I think it's very cool, and it's only happening because of the movie. But fuck it, I'll take it. No Doctor Strange ongoing for 20 years, with the exception of some miniseries and guest appearances in Avengers.
Doctor Voodoo.
He's not a villain. He was not real. Did not happen. It's been retconned.
Adding to my list of outdated hashtags. Hashtag Bruce Cage. Hashtag Dr. Voodoo forever.
Oh my God, if Twitter was around in 2000 and what? When did the year that book come out?
Dr. Voodoo?
Yeah, was it 2010? 2011?
Eight, not even.
Okay, yeah. Nobody remembers Dr. Voodoo except for Brian over here. I'm happy. God damn it, John. Trying to get back on track.
Wasn't it about chucking and black people? What? Who? Who said that?
Nunchucks. They mean giving nunchucks to black people.
And watermelons to hit with, yes.
Hey!
God damn it, John. Okay, moving on.
Let's get back on track.
Jonathan Courtwright lives in Oklahoma City.
Still
Seattle,
won.
San Francisco, too. I don't know.
All right.
It seemed in San Francisco, but yes. Anyway.
That's the only
so
one that I care about.
So comic books are a thing that exists, people.
We're talking comics? Oh, okay.
Yes, that's the only real thing I care about is the Doctor Strange stuff. I think the whole Black Panther thing is pretty
Doctor
cool.
Doctor Strange love?
Doctor Strange love, yes. Yes, that is exactly what I said.
Doctor Strange love?
Referencing an old baby. Movie right here. But I think the Black Panther comic... is it called World of Wakanda or World of Black Panther?
World of Wakanda, yes.
Okay,
sir.
I think that's pretty cool. Obviously people are excited for Black Panther, so why not?
Really?
For Black Panther movie. So why not try? They're not going to be successful. Why not try to capture that excitement in a comic form?
It can't hurt to try, you know, because exactly. You could grab somebody with that series. I know.
Exactly.
It may not be a substantial audience, but you grab one person, and that person could go on to, you know, become a writer or an artist for a book they read once when they were kids, you know?
I think it'll probably go 12 issues. I mean, every Marvel comic goes 12 issues. So, I mean, it's guaranteed 6 to 12. So, you know, that's... We're in a weird time.
If it gets resolicited as a mini, we'll know why and we'll know when and all that stuff. But,
maybe you can do it. I think this is a book you could do as a series, a mini series, without... constantly like an ongoing. I don't know how long people would want to read about Wakanda instead of T'Challa himself.
The main concern is that, and this has been noted already in other places, that Ta-Nehisi Coates has been his own main Black Panther series has been delayed by a little bit. So,
well, he's a writer in the novel. He's a Pulitzer Prize, so he probably has writing other
he's
things.
A serious writer, and I acknowledge that and I accept.
Well, not even that. Like he's working on so many things, so I'm not surprised that the comic thing is the one that's delayed.
Yeah. But with him being the plotter, essentially, of the stories, like, he's not going to write all of them directly, but he will have say over what goes in these stories. So that's the only thing that concerns me, you know, is that this could be built on, like, a House of Cards type deal.
We'll see. I mean, they probably, I think it'd be easier to, like, hey, here's the script. He looks over the script. He approves. He disapproves. They give notes. That's it. It's not like writing like he would with Black Panther, so I don't think it'd be as much work. I think that's about it. That's all I care about. So I... will pass the chair to Brian.
The Doctor Strange Punisher intrigues me, but I have no plans to read any of these stories in any sort of like serious capacity, so I will pass as well. Yeah. So that.
Okay, John, you want to say something?
I might give the Black Panther comic a chance.
Bold words.
You know, try it out. The Doctor Strange, yeah, World of, you know, WoW, not World of Warcraft, but World of Wakanda, the hipper, more urban version of Warcraft.
World, much Wakanda.
So I feel like that could be a
ethnic
mod.
Version. Definitely a Doctor Strange Punisher.
Can you mod Blizzard games?
You what?
Can you mod Blizzard games? Because I want to play World of Wakanda. Like as
yeah, it would be cool if you could.
If you ran your own server, you could do it.
Like,
and they have a private service for Warcraft.
I will play World of Warcraft if somebody makes World of Wakanda into an
just
urban.
Randomly asserts apostrophes into your character's name to make it sound more African. And there's like
and have Donald Trump as the big enemy. Yeah, but the new Doctor Strange Punisher one I actually will check out because it's two of my favorite characters in a team up that I wouldn't expect. Inhumans versus X-Men. I don't even with the talent involved. I am not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. I'm so sick of this whole X-Men versus Inhuman shit. They've coexisted for years and had nothing going on, and now all of a sudden because of various other things.
Well, that's because the Inhumans were on the moon. Like, they were, like, off in their own fucking world or whatever.
But the thing is, you know, and I'm just like, enough of that. I don't care if Soufflé's on it or Francis Yu is doing the art. I just don't care. And meh. Like I said, when the other two I'm interested in, but the third, no, I just can't do it.
I'm with you on that, John. I didn't say much of it because I really don't want to go back to that negative world that I went to last week.
I agree, and I'm not trying to be like.
No, it's fine. It's just that like I just Lionel New is a great artist. Like I'm glad he's achieved that artist of, like, I can do whatever the fuck I want now, and I will enjoy it. You know, he doesn't have to do ongoings anymore, which is fine with me. But I don't... They should have opened up with that instead of opening up with questions. Just let everybody know what it is. Like, also, Jeff Lemire's run on X-Men has been pretty subpar, if I have anything to say about it.
I thought it's been okay. I thought you were enjoying Extraordinary
X-Men. I was until the Apocalypse storyline. It was just like, okay.
Well, that's not their fault. Editorial came down and said we're doing
no,
the event,
but like, so. you could tell, like, there's... Everybody blames editorial, right? Everybody does that. But...
I will agree that having read... last week's series Black Hammer, Jeff Lemire is better when he's allowed to be weird, like weirder than just
exactly,
you know,
like
the company line.
But even then, I know he's capable of telling a good story even with constraints. I mean, look at Animal Man. Look at well, that's the one example I'm going to choose right now. But like, there was promise in there, but like this Apocalypse storyline just feels like we're doing
kill momentum.
If I'm being forced to do this, so I'm going to do this in the blandest way possible. I don't know if we can recover from that, especially since it may or may not be going away. We don't really know because the October, November solicits? Whatever. We don't know what's going to happen to the book. So, yeah, like, he's a very talented writer, but he has not... it started out really nice, but he is petered off so far down. But rest assured, there'll be some positive X-Men news at the second half of the show. Hopefully John can understand me. John, you anything else to say?
No, other than it's a piece of shit, that's all I can say.
For the record, I'm speaking Spanish, but they're listening in SAP, and they're turning the on and off button all the time. So it's quite hilarious.
I'm listening in also the Dothraki and Klingon, so you never know.
That's true. They should really make microphones that you can listen to people in other languages. How cool would that be? Like, you hear them in English? Like the UN has. Make those public. Hashtag make the UN great again. Taser, what did you think about any of this news?
I'm not going to read it because, like I said, I would not have ever... If you'd have forced me within 5 minutes to come up with two characters to put together in a book, I would not ever come up with Punisher and Doctor Strange. Not that that's a bad thing. It just... That wouldn't be where I would go. But that also doesn't sound interesting at all. So, yeah, I'm, you know, like with a lot of Marvel lately, I'm not touching it at all. You know, good luck to whoever reads it and enjoys it. It doesn't seem like something I'd want to, you know, invest time in.
I'll let you know.
I'm going to CG it. Right, cool. I'm going to put in a slab. It's going to be worth $100 in 5 years.
Yeah, okay.
we're having bad flashbacks to the 90s. Yeah, let's move there.
Speed lines! Muscles!
Anything
everybody
else?
With pockets!
Anything else before we move on, guys? As the thunder roars and the lightning strikes. Yes,
nope.
I just made a Garth Brooks.
Yes, I know, and I was ignoring it.
Garth Brooks is great. He's the only
just
country star
I like the artist.
For many a year.
Yes. But anything else you guys want to say before we move on?
The thunder rolls.
Okay. Well, now let's move on to our next second half of the news segment, which is all about what you really want to hear because it's the thing that makes the money, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm just going to say, oh my god, the Doctor Strange trailer is perfect. I literally jizzed on when I got home. It's perfect. It's Steve Ditko on the big screen. Oh my god. The cape floated onto him.
Oh.
It floated onto him. Do you understand that?
Yes, we all saw it, Iggy. It was magical. It was
near
great.
Alternate dimensions, warping reality. It's not science fiction bullshit! I'm sorry, I'm excited. Brian, give it a rundown,
please.
No,
it's okay. It's good. It's good. Okay. Marvel Studios put out quite a bit of content, or they're going to be putting out quite a bit of content. So, starting from the top. Gentlemen, strap in. Here we go.
Strap on, okay.
No, I said in, John. We don't care what you and your wife do in your private time. Jeez.
Yeesh.
Starting at the top, there will be an animated Incredible Hulk feature called Hulk Where Monsters Dwell, wherein Hulk teams up with Doctor Strange and the Howling Commandos to explore some of the uncharted corners of the Marvel Universe. A new animated series announced spun off from Guardians of the Galaxy called Rocket and Groot. Funny animal cartoons, yay. New seasons of both Avengers Assemble and Guardians of the Galaxy animated series have been announced, and Avengers Assemble will feature Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel, showing up. Please keep your opinions to yourself until after the listing has been done. Taser!
I didn't say much.
That was me.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Okay, casting news for the live-action features. Here we go. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Kurt Russell has been announced to play Ego, the living planet, only he's not a living planet. He's actually a
I think he's broken. I legit think he's broken.
Okay.
I've never heard him laugh that long before. This is hilarious.
I was actually growing like amused to frightened. Like, what the fuck is happening? But yeah, so that.
So he's not a planet. What is he?
Apparently, the planet figured out how to give himself a human form.
Okay, I'm there.
Included in the Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Elizabeth Debicki, Aisha, a.k.a. her, a.k.a. Kismet, a.k.a. Paragon, a.k.a. she is.
Ooh, hot golden blonde chick. Okay.
Yes, her. And also, Sylvester Stallone is going to play an unidentified character in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Hey, yo, I can beat up Thanos in the ring, you know? Like, I beat Apollo, you know?
Yo, I'm part of the Nova Corps, okay? I am the Galactic Law, okay?
I am the Raw!
Just have him play Dredd in a Nova Corps uniform.
I don't want him to play fucking Rocky boxing a Martian. That's what I fucking want.
You know what? If he's going to be an alien, he should just be called the Stallion. Because it just works.
Yes.
There you go. It just works. He should be Gladiator. There you go.
Oh my god, he would be perfect as Gladiator.
Have him shave the top of his head, and then he's just got that super alien mullet.
Hey, yo, when you call me Gladiator, hey, I protect the enchant. What's your name again? I'm the leader of the Imperial Guard.
Oh, dear God.
He better be playing Gladiator. Holy shit. The Shi'ar confirmed for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That'd be great.
He's the runner. No, wait. He's not champion. What's the Buddhist one? The one that looks like the Buddha. Curse my memory. But that's who he'll be. I fucked it all up. Damn it, I can't remember the name.
Moving on to the next segment. Spider-Man Homecoming. Michael Keaton confirmed as Adrian Toomes, a.k.a.
All right.
And also... Yep. Tony Revolori has been added as the one and only Flash Thompson, although he doesn't look very jock-ish, so I don't know how they're going to play that off. But
does he have jock-ish?
Does he have red hair?
No, he's actually like Italian, so I think that's going to play into
it. Hey, yo, I'm in the Spider-Man movie.
Like New York Italian.
New York Italian. Cetera,
hey, yo, Mary Jane, come on over here. Give me some. Peter Parker, fuck off.
Thor Ragnarok, we have confirmed appearances of both Fenrir and Surtur for the season. The Incredible Hulk will be rocking his Planet Hulk Gladiator armor in Thor Ragnarok.
So I can't wait to see that.
Stylish.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm looking forward to Carl Urban being in that one as the Executioner. I'm like,
That could be good as long as he keeps the freaking helmet on.
Yeah. Oh, he will. I mean, I don't think he kept the helmet on when he was Dredd.
He kept the helmet on quite a bit. Not all the time, but, you know. 90%
of
it helped keep
movie.
Him in character. Yeah. Because then you're not looking at it saying, it's Carl Urban. You got the helmet on. He's the executioner. Yeah. That's the point, you know. So,
Carl Urban's an actor who can, like, literally become that character.
He's a very good actor. I love him as Bones in the fucking Star Trek movies. He's perfect. Like, he's pitch perfect, honestly.
Damn it, I'm an executioner, not a healer.
I'm just trying to include a little bit of sci-fi in the talk about comic books. I'm trying to diversify. Hashtag diversity.
I'm
glad I'm not going to die alone on this planet. Oh, that's just perfect.
No, we are not sponsored.
And I'm a doctor, not a physicist.
We are not sponsored by Paramount, in case you're wondering. Although, go see Star Trek Beyond. It's actually pretty good. Better than Star Trek Into Darkness.
R.I.P. Anton Yelchin. Poor bastard. Let's see. Black Panther news. Michael B. Jordan confirmed as Eric Killmonger, the main antagonist of Black Panther. Yeah. Also included Lupita Nyong'o as Nakia and Danai Gurira as Okoye, presumably members of the Dora Milaje, but Black Panther's bodyguards, but that goes unconfirmed at this time. Last bit of casting news. It's a big one. Brie Larson is Carol Danvers, everybody. She will be Captain Marvel. Brie Larson.
We talked about this. You were here. You just forgot.
Because it's not that big of a freaking deal.
Moving
what's
on.
What's she done?
She's mostly been in like indie horror flicks and things like that, and she's done a few other indie projects. She's never really been in a big mainstream studio project, so this is her kind of breaking out. So I don't blame you if you never heard of her. So.
So we got a nobody.
So can we just spend the next 20 minutes talking about how Doctor Strange is literally that's going to be the best MCU
Hang
movie?
Hang on, there's still more to say.
Kurt Russell being Ego going, call me Ego.
I'm going to... And on Netflix, on the small screen, we got our official Luke Cage series trailer, as well as a Defenders teaser trailer premiering with the Back by Nirvana track, always good. We got the first look at Iron Fist.
Ooh, yes.
Doctor Strange official first trailer dropped. We got a Legion official series trailer for FX, and also over on TV, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've added Ghost Rider, aka Robbie Reyes, to the Kate Lightning.
Oh God, no jokes.
And that is
gonna
the
be
Marvel
Fast and Furious on there?
Marvel Studios. God damn it, John! Stop trying to be funny.
No. Okay. The thing that stole the show for me, were, of course, Doctor Strange. I think Taser can attest that one, and of course, you summed it up that, this is gonna be my Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're gonna change things, they're gonna alter things I don't like, they're gonna make it science fiction-y. Seeing basic enhanced magical weapons and seeing teleportations and basically, by the way, that the Asian actor, I know who he is, but is he playing Wong?
I assume so.
Okay, but he plays he plays Kublai Khan in the Netflix series Marco Polo. One, go watch the series.
Second
two.
Season.
Yes, I need to watch that, but I need to watch Stranger Things first. But I'm very excited because I was like, oh, he's good. So, Marco Polo plug, yes. But Doctor Strange is exceeding all of my expectations in all these trailers. Seeing just the little thing, you'd think it'd be Doctor Strange standing on the tower that's leaning while looking into a different dimensions of New York City would blow my mind. No, it was the simple motion of him throwing the cape over and the coat and the cape just magically clinging to him. That's what did it. I think the Iron Fist stuff looks pretty good. I'm surprised we're getting Defenders next week. Not next week. Next year. That's all I care about. None of the other stuff did not matter. The Black Panther stuff is cool. We have two Human Torches in the MCU now. So, think about that. That's funny. Yeah, they
Paul Walker coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, that's a thing too. But I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's a bad television show. And I don't watch bad television shows. So, yeah.
Well, I haven't even seen the series in general, so I can't
don't,
really judge.
You'd be wasting your time like I did when
it's
I watched
it. It's a fun show! It's a fun show!
It's a bad show is what it is.
It's
okay.
A fun show!
It's like that other show, Agent Carter, that only had one season. Black Panther stuff is cool. People are hyped for Black Panther. Brie Larson, it's a wait and see for me. I don't see it. I honestly do not see it. But I didn't see it with Chris Evans as Captain America. Hell has he proved me wrong over 5 years now?
Did you see the meme circulating around from Captain Phillips, where it's Brie Larson saying, "I am the captain now," and Chris Evans being sad face?
No, I didn't. You had to show me that later. But other than that, November is literally right around the corner. Like, it's already going to be August. So I don't have that much longer to wait for Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it, buddy. I'll be like, there opening.
Seeing Doctor Strange was like, that's something, that's like Ditko coming to life. Like, this is the closest we've ever seen, like, those crazy 60s Doctor Strange comics coming to life on the big screen with, like, everything sort of warping and just looking a bit off. One thing I hope that they add in the movie as they go forward is, like, magical creatures and weird creatures, sort of something you would see, like, at a Hellboy. Like, just flesh out the world that he's in. But other than that, so far it looks epic as hell. I can't wait for Doctor Strange. And also, yes, Doctor Strange is more important than the Avengers. Benedict Cumberbatch was right about that. Brian, you're next.
Bri.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Okay. So, if we're all done talking about Doctor Strange for the rest of the show, please, dear God.
I want to say just one thing. The trailer that they showed for Doctor Strange made it look a little too much like Inception to me. You know, what with the whole city flipping. I mean, the first one that I saw in that teaser, that looked awesome, especially in 3D. It really did look awesome. But this one, I'm guessing this was one of the reality attack attempts by, I'm guessing that was Dormammu.
No, that was not Dormammu.
Oh, thank God. Thank you, dear Jesus. No, it's a different villain. I was so worried. I you have no idea. I was worried that that's what we were getting. Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
You all good? Can I go back to my spiel now?
Yeah, please go on.
Let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy, Kurt Russell playing Ego. It's certainly not what anybody guessed or expected.
Wanted or deserved. Well, that's sad. It's fucking sad.
But it's the Ego we get.
I think James Gunn kind of
cheated in terms
of who he picked as, who he picked as Star-Lord's father. And I'll be interested to see exactly why he chose Ego. Because that's more than anything else. I'm just like, why? Why Ego?
Because Ego is awesome.
No, he's not. Mogo is awesome. Ego is bullshit. All right?
That's fighting words, dude. Now,
I can't say anything bad about Green Lantern because I'm under contract from Warner Brothers.
So. There you go. Michael Keaton as Vulture, I'm interested to see how that plays out. I mean, he's kind of a crazy fucking guy, so, I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to go, because Adrian Toomes can go one of two ways. He can be lethal scientist, or they can do pathetic old fraud turned homicidal maniac. And the two aren't mutually exclusive. They can do a little bit of both, but one's going to be more potent than the other. So if they make Michael Keaton go bonkers as Adrian Toomes and just like, they never appreciated me. Well, now they'll fucking appreciate me. You know, that whole thing. I would love to see that happen.
Want to go nuts? Let's get nuts.
Exactly. No, that's actually a pretty good pull, Fleck. All right. Yeah, can I clap that out real quick? Good on you. Thor, I'll be interested to see what the Hulk is up to that gets him gladiator armor. And, like, I mean, Norse mythology, I've always dug it. So hearing about Fenrir and Surtur, but also knowing what I know, and every time, you know, someone mentions Surtur around Taser, he gets, like, kind of hard and shit. Boom. So
that's same here with me, dude. Boom.
Yeah. You know, he feels a compulsion to shout Simonson to the heavens whenever something.
Damn it, you beat me to it. Damn it. I was just about to do that. Damn you.
Taser. 1, 2, 3.
Simonson! Yes.
So I have nothing but high expectations for that in terms of visual. Although if they pull the like Galactus smoke cloud type deal and he's like a little flickering flame, I'm sure they're gonna be more than disappointed.
You mean what James Gunn's doing with Ego?
They're just making him smaller and condensing him into a...
Oh, shit! Okay, yeah.
Are they going to give him an eye patch and a mullet?
That would be badass, okay? If Star-Lord was the son of Snake Plissken, I mean, come on. Like, child of the 80s is a child.
You know what Jack Burton always says in a time like this? It's all in the reflections.
John, I'm gonna be so sad for you when they remake that movie.
Oh! That is such an awesome. That's a great cowboy kung fu flick. It's a fucking awesome movie. I love it. Anytime it comes on, I sit there and I watch the whole thing.
It's all right. Well, we're not talking about Big Trouble in Little China.
Luke Cage looks awesome. I'm excited to see Iron Fist finally come to the small screen. I really want to see that. Doc Strange looks smooth. Legion looks fucking weird as hell. And probably more than anything else, I am really intrigued to see how the fuck they're going to do Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because...
That's easy. Hold on. I know how. Can you bear with me on this? They're going to get archive footage from ABC News of Paul Walker's car crash. Somebody was gonna do it, and it was my turn.
Oh, hail the Inkster! Yay!
That would be fucking hilarious if they did that.
They're not gonna do it. You know they're not gonna do that shit.
I would applaud them if they actually did that. That would rule. That would also mean somebody listened to our show.
And then I'm just gonna ask, where are the royalties? What the fuck?
Actually, yes. Yes, we want a plug, damn you.
I feel awful about what just happened.
That's because you laughed inside, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that northeastern liberal guilt. That's what that is.
Look, I personally love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'll stick with the show till the end of time. I think it's a kick. But how they're gonna portray Ghost Rider is very much intriguing to me because I want to know if they're gonna go magic, because with Doctor Strange coming out, this would be the time to segue magic into the small screen side of the whole, you know, Marvel universe.
If Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does that, I might have to watch it then.
But I'm confused because last season we got Hellfire and he didn't really, he was an Inhuman. So,
actually, I think that's what they're going
to
do.
No middle finger to you, Inhuman too. ABC
and
Studios.
If they make him an Inhuman, I will be supremely disappointed in the fact that this guy, this supernatural fucking tank, has been reduced to fucking an Inhuman. Granted, you know, they've speculated, actually, I thought it was in Ultimate Comics where they're like, they thought he was a mutant at first, but that's no fucking mutant. That is the fucking Ghost Rider. I don't care if it's Robbie Reyes,
it's Nick
Johnny
Cage
Blaze,
who made a deal with the devil.
You make a deal with the devil, you get hell powers. That's the way it works. So, if they're gonna go that route, if they're gonna do magic, I would be stoked and no better. I've been dying to see Ghost Rider show up in the fucking Marvel Cinematic. Granted, I could give a shit about Robbie Reyes. I don't give a fuck about him or his crippled little brother or whatever fucking drag racer he's into nowadays. I don't care about Grease Lightning, none of that bullshit, all right?
No, don't say that, no.
I'm sorry that your diversity hire didn't excite me, but I don't really give a shit about Robbie Reyes. But the opportunities this opens to have Ghost Rider on this show, possibly bringing magic to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. side of things, I would be all over that, like white on rice, or like black dudes on white chicks. So,
woo!
Or Asian girls on white guys.
That's what I'm most excited for. Although Luke Cage looks pretty damn sweet too. I'm ready to see Mike Coulter beat the shit out of him on TV. So,
John.
Okay, my brain's just kind of going south here. I'll be interested to see how they do it if I can ever get access to ABC or torrent site where I can get it without it being virus. Otherwise, I'm waiting for November for Doctor Strange and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, you got Ghost Rider coming in. I love Ghost Rider. I can't believe I actually liked that last series with Reyes, but it was actually fairly good. And there we go. That's all I can pretty much say. Now, Iron Fist, I haven't seen anything about the Iron Fist, but I've always loved the character. And Netflix has been doing really good on the series, so we'll go from there.
Defenders 2017.
Yep.
T-Man, wrap up our Comic-Con coverage.
Well, like I said, Doctor Strange looks a little too Inception for me, but I'm still gonna go see it. So, you know, there's no worries of that. It's getting my money. I have to go see it.
I haven't seen Inception, so I'm not worried about that. So.
Legion, I'm a pass on. That looked way too psychological than I actually care to give a rat's ass about. If you're going to give me a Legion, a story about Legion, and yeah, I know the deal with him, the one thing I don't want is this one guy who's trying to come to terms with, you know, what's going on in his head because of his latent mutant abilities and him figuring stuff out and psychoanalysis. No, thank you. I'll pass on that. No. Iron Fist, in the trailer, they showed a plane accident. I'm fucking pissed. Okay, I wanted the trek to Kun Lun. I wanted the betrayal. I wanted the wolves. Well, we might get the wolves because that. Well, actually, we probably not because it looked like the kid was by himself in the chair and he gets found by monks from Kun Lun. And somehow he makes his way back to America, the States, and he gets put in an institution and he breaks his way out. Ooh, he took out a wall.
I'm not feeling okay, the Jerry curl he has going on, though.
I'm going to look at it because I have to see it, at least that first episode, and judge it fairly and honestly. Although, I'm not happy with what looks like they're going to do. I'm saying that up front. Luke Cage? Fuck it, they had me when they started playing Wu-Tang Clan. I gotta say it. I was like, ooh, baby, I like it raw. I was like, oh, shit. They're doing it. They had freaking Public Enemy in Star Trek Beyond, and now I got the Wu-Tang Clan on for fucking Luke Cage. And I'm not the biggest Wu-Tang Clan fan, but that's a damn good song. I'm not even gonna lie.
And there ain't nothing to fuck with.
And not for nothing, the scenes of him breaking through, I'm not sure, was that a project or was that a jail? Because I'm like, where'd those big-ass gates come from?
I think it was a drug house. I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, when he took the door and wrapped it around that guy and then slapped him away, I had to laugh and clap. Right there. I was like, yes. That's how I want to see some shit get done. So I'm going to look at Luke Cage. Defenders, they used a shot of David Tennant, and then we actually heard a line from him. I'm not going to say that, you know, they might he somehow survived. I don't know.
Didn't maybe he get shot in the head?
No, I think she snapped his neck.
Yeah, she snapped his neck.
But they used the shot of David Tennant, and they used the they used his voice. So, if that happens and he's somehow alive and intact, actually, I think that's a good thing because, yeah, there's a comic book thing right there. Somebody who should be freaking dead, and he's not dead. Why? Because comic book. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm
supposed to be able to come back.
Yeah, you know, he'd be the first person to do so. You know, freaking, yep. I'm still waiting for the Red Skull to come back with the Tesseract, but whatever. Anyway,
no, he's alive. He's just in Asgard somewhere.
Well, fair enough. But Defenders, we didn't really see a whole lot to justify any type of, wow, this looks awesome, aside from just shots of them and stuff.
I'm just
and
surprised it's coming Punisher, next year.
So, you know, I'm not surprised. They're trying to keep the ball of interest rolling. I'm not surprised at all. What else was there? The Hulk animated thing? I'll probably look at it because it's animated. You know, I love the animated shit. Thor, Ragnarok. You know I have to see this.
Opening night, brother. That's yes. What I'm doing.
And it'll be a midnight showing. I'm not even going to lie. It's
part,
getting
part of me wishes I had enough money to fly out John to New York City to go see the movie with Taser. Taser can wear a ski mask, but it'll be just so they can be Simonson Bros. At the movie theater.
Why we gotta be all about the ski mask?
Because you don't want your face shown in public, that's why.
Actually, good point. Thank you. I forgot.
Not because you're black, but because you don't like to be seen.
Had to do with me being well, that way in a ski mask at a movie theater.
Taser is the example of a cheap cosplay of a ninja. He just puts a ski mask on, that's it.
Yeah, that way he doesn't get associated with a fat white guy from Oklahoma. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were gonna make that one Chris Farley movie where he was in
Ninja? We'd be Quantum and Woody.
God. No. No.
Wait, which one's Quantum, which one's Woody?
Okay, sorry. You kind of had to be there for that joke. Anyway.
Clang.
I think that was it, you know, for... Michael Keaton as Vulture. Okay. You know, I know he's only getting this because of Birdman now, but still. Okay. You know, I can actually see that. Because Michael Keaton... I love that show. That cartoon was awesome. Michael Keaton's actually a really, really good actor. You know, he's had a surprising amount of range over his career. I support it, you know. I don't know how it's going to play out, but, you know, I'm eager to see it. And Brie Larson as Wonder Woman,
wrong universe, pal.
Same kind of character, ain't it?
I know.
You know, same kind of character. But no. As Captain Marvel, okay. I don't know her. I can't say anything about her. I want to see Captain Marvel, though. You know, I'd rather see Black Widow, but I'm getting Captain Marvel. I want to see Captain Marvel. I hope they do it good. And yay, Kamala Khan on a cartoon that I will never, ever, ever,
ever, I'm surprised ever, it took ever, this ever, long ever, to put ever. Her on a cartoon, considering she's, you know, she clearly could be, like, the Spider-Man Mate for this generation.
Or Indian people?
Well, no, like, she's very likable. She's very, like, I still Indian read her book. People. Hmm?
Bait for Indian people.
No, not that. That's, well, she's Muslim. Yeah. She's from Pakistan. She's not Indian.
Same thing.
No, God damn it. Whatever. I made the Paul Walker joke anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay.
Thank you very much.
John, I'm going to drive up I-35 right now. And I'm just going to find this whatever library you're at. I'm just going to crash through the window and just say, please don't fucking say that shit again. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up with some comic book reviews. We hated on the X-Men earlier, but tonight, Brian and I are going to make sweet, sweet love to Wolverine. Which Wolverine? That's the question. So, Brian, open it up with your review of all Old Man Logan, numero 9!
Oh, God. Okay.
Hey, hiya!
So, this issue... is I don't know why I keep letting Old Man Logan hurt me, but here we go.
Okay, this is surprising because you've been liking this series.
That didn't sound right at all either.
Remember last issue where it's Hack / Wolverine Bloodfest fun times? Yeah. This one is kinda like that. I use the word kinda loosely. I enjoyed this issue for different reasons. Last issue promised Wolverine being, like, the guy who's going to be on the hunt, filled with resolve, he's going to kill all his enemies and stuff. That doesn't happen in this issue. Instead, Wolverine's back at the Jean Grey school, and he is having issues dealing with, you know, the whole end-of-the-world thing. Like, he keeps ruminating, like, every night could be the night when the villains rise up, because it was a night they came, and it was a night we fell, and, that whole waxing poetic type thing. So, Jean Grey comes to him, and she asks
at night,
him...
in his bed.
No, not in his bed.
Oh. Woo!
Okay, she dresses up like Marvel Girl. No. But she does dress up like Marvel Girl. She dresses up like Marvel Girl, and they go out for a night in New York City, where she asks Wolverine to take her through the way the world ended on his planet. And that cues up some
sex.
Excellent flashbacks. No, not sex. God damn it, Taser.
How old is young Jean Grey? She's got to be, what, 16,
She's
17?
Like college age, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought she was much
early
younger.
College. Yeah, she was in college.
Legal age. She's legal age. That's all that matters. She's legal age.
Hey, okay. Wolverine is old and gross. Let's just move on, shall we? Yeah,
but he's... I'm not going to finish that line.
Jared from Subway approves. I'm sorry, Brian. Go on. We won't interrupt, I promise.
So,
I did.
He was a...
Ryan, I promise we won't interrupt. Continue.
I'm sad. Now, so queuing up flashbacks of the night the heroes fell, and I actually really love this, because one of the big things I always held against Old Man Logan was the fact that they didn't really show what happened the night the heroes fell. You heard stories and you got a glimpse here or there, but for the most part, you sort of had to deal with not knowing what the fuck happened. And in this one, we get to see what actually fucking happens. On the street in New York City, we see the initial uprising, which leads with the likes of Magneto, Enchantress, Green Goblin, and a squadron of Hydra helicopters literally crashing the Helicarrier into the fucking New York skyline and demolishing it.
Nice. So,
that's the opening salvo. And then on the street in Manhattan, you get the street-level guys who are trying to take on the heroes and stuff, like Moon Knight, Daredevil, She-Hulk, Spider-Man. They're all teaming up to take on the heroes who are running the streets. And Elektra was there, and Green Goblin is there. Green Goblin presumably kills Peter Parker, and Elektra presumably kills Moon Knight. And out of nowhere, Elektra's about to kill Daredevil, and then Frank Castle fucking puts a bullet in his head, which I thought was fantastic. And Daredevil was subsequently killed by Enchantress, who turns his sonic ability back on him and, like, fries his brain, and his head, like, explodes like fucking scanners. No shit.
Nice.
Yep. And then, well, probably something I never really thought of how cool it was, but the person to kill the Punisher, none other than Sergei Kravinov, Kraven the Hunter. And he calls it...
Wait, what? Why Sergei is Kraven there? He should have been dead at that point.
Other planet.
Reality. No, bullshit. Fuck you. I'm done. Fuck this podcast. Fuck what? Marvel.
Ben, come back, Ben!
Physically leaving! Okay, I'm back.
Okay. But, so, we get that, and then Jean Grey says, well, what happened next? Well, then Pym Falls happened. And what's Pym Falls? Well, Giant Man, Wasp, they're fighting off Avalanche, fucking Crossbones, Vulture, and I love Hank Pym. He goes all out. He fucking stomps Crossbones into the dirt while Giant Man dies. It's fantastic.
Makes sense.
And then he reaches out and crushes the Vulture in his grip, just like swats him like a bug. And he's telling Janet, you gotta get back, yeah, get out of here.
Or bird.
And Janet gets shot through the gut and she dies by, I think that's either Titanium Man or Ironmonger. I can't tell which one. It's an Iron Man.
I have to ask this question. Was she eaten by the blob?
No. And well, hang on, because then you wanna know how they take down fucking Giant Man? Avalanche brings up the Moloids and they fucking consume him like a swarm of ants, and he goes down.
That's why there's a skeleton.
Yeah. He gets picked clean by Moloids. So Janet, depending on where she fell, was probably also eaten by Moloids. So
she was
eaten. One question. Why were they fighting in the first place?
Why were Sue fighting?
What started this whole big melee of
the villains?
World War II.
Is that what this was?
No, nothing started it. It's from Old Man Logan.
I know, but see, that's what I'm saying, though. This is a huge fight where characters are dying left and right, yes?
The whole premise of Old Man Logan is the heroes just, or the villains, right, just get organized and start taking out the heroes, because for every one hero, they have like 20 or so bad guys.
There's more of us!
It's the villains uprising.
Pretty much.
Okay. What if the villains got their shit together? Universe.
Yeah, I never read Old Man Logan, so this is news to me. But,
no, but yeah, so it's the universe where the villains got their shit together and organized. So that was just what that was. But also, what is? So after that happens, we get one more flashback, and thankfully, Sorrentino, I love him. He doesn't try to go all out in recreating Logan's slaughter of the X-Men, because nobody can do it like Steve McNiven can do it. That sounded overtly sexual. I am sorry. But, yeah, he does little flashbacks to the Wolverine offing the X-Men and stuff, but for the most part, he kind of stays away from it. So,
Wait a minute. Why did Wolverine kill the X-Men?
In the Old Man Logan universe, Mysterio fucked with Logan's senses where he thought every X-Men was a bad guy, and he cut them and bit them and stabbed
there's a,
them.
There's a whole issue of the comic.
That's
where
an entire issue of Old Man Logan, him just offing the villains who turn out to be X-Men, and there's
it's gruesome.
The gore and the scattered bodies everywhere, and Logan's like, oh my gosh, that
sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was a fucking revelatory scene. I loved it. It's one of my favorite parts. But yeah, so that happens, and Wolverine, you know, he sort of comes back down to Earth, and he's like, okay, well, what happens now, Jean Grey, now that you've made me relive all this trauma and whatnot? Well, interestingly enough, she arranges for a little get-together with Old Man Logan, believe it or not. She arranges an after-hours party in Madripoor, okay, with Old Man Logan, Steve Rogers, Clint Barton, Puck, and Jubilee. As like a, hey, life's not so bad kind of thing. Which,
lame.
Yeah, the ending kind of sucked, I admit. Because it kind of doubles back on the whole thing where he was just like, I'm going to off every single fucking villain. And it kind of goes like, nah, you know what? Life's not so bad. Maybe I'm just in my head too much. And to be fair, maybe he kind of is, but...
He did murder all of his friends.
He did murder all of his friends. Like, all of them.
Like, pretty bad. Like, slashing half of Gambit's face off, decapitating Iceman while in Iceman form.
See, but that shouldn't work, because isn't he just like ice and can reform himself? Didn't they actually do that?
There was a decapitated Iceman head.
I don't think Iceman's powers had evolved to that point in this episode. Yeah, I mean, in this
one. Okay, fair enough.
There was a decapitated Iceman head. So
the thing about Old Man Logan, it demands a lot of assumptions on the part of the viewer. Like, okay, you have to assume the villains actually put aside their differences and work together and so on and so, which is already a big fucking leap, but, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, so the ending happens, and that's fine and stuff. Mostly, I like this issue for the flashbacks. The flashbacks are expansions on the story material that I love. And also, one of the most fucked up things for me is the beginning scene in New York, flashback to Manhattan, Battle on the Ground, where She-Hulk's in the middle of it with Daredevil and, like, Punisher and Moon Knight and stuff, and everybody's dying around her left and right, and she's like, oh my god, what are we gonna do? And the best part about that is, for anyone who's read the story, you know that she actually doesn't die there. No, she stays alive, and, oh, actually, Taser, you've never read it before, have you?
No. Said,
so, do you know what happens to Jenny She-Hulk in fucking Old Man Logan world?
Not a clue.
Okay. She hooks up with Bruce Banner. Okay.
Babies!
Yep.
Big old green!
Billy Hulk's all Dude, running over the
hold
country.
Hold on, they're cousins, though. So
yeah.
It shouldn't be that bad.
Dude.
They're hillbilly Hulks.
They literally do inbred Hulks.
Are they first cousin? Because I think they're second. I'm not sure.
They're the point is they're inbred
Hulks. Okay, they're
hillbilly
Hulks, though. Woo! Who doggy?
Fucking, like, trucker caps and, like, messed up teeth and blown out pupils.
Overalls.
And, like, redneck names.
Hashtag
Joe Bob and Earl Bob and, like, all kinds of shit.
Wait a minute. I have one question in that regard.
Yes.
Who approached who first? That's all I want to know.
It's never implied, but Bruce Banner is heavily implied as the initiator in that one.
Wait a minute. Was there force? That's all I'm saying. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what he says in the comic book, because they actually mention it. It's like, who else was I going to breed with besides Jenny She-Hulk? She was the only one who could keep the damn pace. And you go, what the...
You should go read Old Man Logan.
Nah. But thank you for that. That's nice and maestro-ish.
Yeah.
It's maestro-ish. Yes. Oh, that is funny.
She was the only one who could keep the damn pace.
That's fucking awesome.
So,
although I think the Enchantress probably could too.
Maybe. But at this point, Bruce Banner's gone fucking crazy, and he offed the Abomination, and he's pretty much a villain and stuff, but, you know.
And
stuff.
The villains didn't go after him?
No, surprisingly enough, he actually, there's speculation in the book that the gamma radiation finally got to his head and made him go crazy, because...
So they decided to leave well enough alone?
The Hulk territory used to belong to the Abomination, because when the U.S. was conquered, they divided it up among the major generals and stuff. But the Abomination was subsequently killed by the Hulk, and then the Hulk set up shop in his quarter. So they're just kind of like, okay, we'll just kind of leave him alone.
They didn't want none of that. They was like, that's all right.
For his redneck, inbred, hillbilly Hulk gang, where they all had the strength of a fucking Hulk. So, you know.
Was She-Hulk still alive?
No, she's been dead at this point. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. From a depressing as all fuck story to a kind of uplifting, but end up going to be a depressing story with all new Wolverine number 10. This issue is also a Civil War 2 tie-in, so get ready for some minor ranting. But the crux of this issue is basically Ulysses, yes, the same Ulysses from Civil War, somehow has a vision, of Old Man Logan screaming, and then Laura, new Wolverine, sort of, like, all surrounded in very, what's supposed to be blood. And obviously, of course, you know, they get to Maria Hill. A lot of this issue is Old Man Logan, Gabby, and Laura sort of, it's kind of like Three's Company, but without the fact that Jack has to hide that he's gay from Mr. Roper. It's basically a bonding issue between them, and that, you know, Logan sees Gabby. Yeah. Gabby, or Logan sees Gabby, automatically he something's up. But apparently, they tried to soothe him by giving him, making him listen to whale songs, or like how whales communicate. So I thought that was funny. And they have a pet Wolverine from the last issue. It's still there. They're basically sort of bonding, like sort of growing together, like, this is my house, you won't do this, you taught me better. And Logan's remembering, you know, when he was in his old universe. Then these two robbers come along, and this is the greatest moment ever. It's all three of the Wolverines, they see the robbers, and it's like, you're gonna rob us, are you burglars, are you broken here? And they all burst out laughing at the fact that these two unlucky burglars broke into this house, this particular one house. And they basically say, you know what? You just walk away. It's going to be okay. You know, that's fine. Unfortunately, one of the robbers doesn't take it, decides to point his gun at him. And the little pet Wolverine gets shot. And they basically are about to go all hell loose. Gabby straight up knees one of the robbers in the fucking face. Like, I could feel that pain. They subdue the robbers. Logan's about to kill one of them. But he doesn't. He just gives a nice steel headbutt to him. But it turns out the Wolverine didn't die. I was surprised at that. Like, I was like, I actually had a kind of a sad moment for that little shit Wolverine. Jonathan, that's his name. And, you know, he just got a little grazed. So the pet Wolverine lives on. And it's another, you know, emotional moment in Old Man Logan opening up to basically, you know, like, he sees her and all the traumatization that he had that Brian talked about just a second ago. You know, sort of relaxing a little bit. But basically it comes to the realization that Wolverine knew a Gabby from his universe, and sort of insinuates that Gabby from his reality did something. They don't really say what, but of course, Laura being Laura, she is being protective of basically her little sister. You know, this isn't your world, this is my world. It doesn't mean everything's gonna be this way, until finally S.H.I.E.L.D. agents come in. And Maria Hill tells, oh, by the way, Hydra Steve shows up. So that fraud is here. It ends with Laura basically telling her, or Maria Hill telling Laura that the vision Ulysses had was that Gabby's going to kill Wolverine. So I really like this issue a lot because it was a very good character moment between Old Man Logan, Wolverine, and Gabby. It was fun. Had a nice little minor tragic moment with Jonathan the Wolverine seeming dead. You know, the way the panels are drawn, it looks like he's shot through his stomach versus grazing him. But I'm glad he's alive. You know, that was a little troll baity with the killing the animal. That's kind of fucked up to do, but whatever. But the thing that hinders it for me is that you could do this story without involving Ulysses, because they clearly, like, Wolverine just sees her and knows, like, he remembers, he knows something's up. To have basically it, oh, he's going to kill her because it's the Civil War II thing, feels kind of cheap to me. It feels like you can tell this was a story they were already going to do, and they had to incorporate these extra panels because this is a couple more pages than a normal issue. And I can totally tell, like, this issue is probably almost done, and then they came like, hey, guess what, you're tying into Civil War II now. And so now they probably had one reason for Logan to try to kill her. Now the reason is it was going to happen, and the future predicted it. So, yeah, this is what it feels like to me. So it's kind of bittersweet because I enjoyed it. I still love this series. Like, this is the best X-Men title going on right now. I love sort of lore.
I readily second that opinion, honestly. Thank you. It's been something else, but I will say I'm reading as well, and the inclusion of Gabby and Laura, I'm kind of concerned with, because it's never mentioned. Laura Kinney's never even mentioned in Old Man Logan to any extent. I don't even think she's in the big group shot where everybody's dead. I think they kind
of
just moved
her. She may not have been part of the X-Men at that time.
Very true. So the way that sort of unfolds, I'm curious to see how they tie that into the universe, because whereas Old Man Logan is like a direct continuation of that character's story, this is taking elements that we don't previously know about to expand a different character and moving that into the storyline. So it's interesting, and I want to see how they play it out. But I'm curious also because, you know, there's only so many things you can do with Old Man Logan before you start stretching and twisting the story into something that doesn't look recognizable anymore, you know? So...
Yeah, all right, but I thought it was a very good issue. It's starting, this is a new arc, jump on with this issue. I think it'd be better if you had read it from issue one, because you could sort of see Laura evolve a little bit over 9 issues, and the introduction of Gabby has been nothing but energy. Like, the book didn't need it, but it's been a nice addition. Art was a little off in terms of the facial expressions, but you know what you can do with that. Overall, I thought it was a very good issue, you know. It was, but I just still feel like you didn't need to tie into Civil War. They probably did it because the sales, you know, doesn't hurt to have, you know, somebody's going to buy it because it has Civil War 2 on it. But hopefully whoever does buy it sees a cool Wolverine story. And
well, Maria Hill's been a presence in the book throughout, so it'd be kind of remiss if they didn't at least throw her in, and she kind of ties it back to Civil War.
Yeah, I just wish it didn't tie into Civil War at all, because Civil War is a stupid event that doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just Tony Stark being a little whiny bitch.
Well, yeah, but sales and events and
good book. Well, I want to say good book sale, but the truth is they don't. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Check us up on Facebook, as both Brian Taser and Jonathan do, as what they tell me. I'm convinced it's on Hellfire right now. They do an excellent job of maintaining the Facebook group, so kudos to that. Twitter.com/Warriors3PCast for whenever the show goes live. iTunes, write us a review on iTunes. Follow Brian at No Mr. Powers. See?
That's correct.
I got it right. Got it right. Follow him that. And it, you know, it's the weekend whenever Brian starts retweeting like a motherfucker on Friday. Follow me at Twitter.com/MarvelousIggy, where I stream. I talk about nothing but fighting games. That's all I've been consumed about, especially since Evo happened 2 weeks ago now. Or a week ago, actually. I talk about that. And also, Twitch.tv/Iggy2814. It's been the summer of Golden Sun. I actually haven't been streaming a lot lately, just because it's been a difficult time finding time to stream. And, you know, just how work's been scheduled for me. So, and also I'll be writing for, no official confirmation yet, but I should be writing for a new comic book blog. Don't have a name for you yet, relatively soon. And I'm proud to announce, it's not much, but it's going to be my first ever paid writing session. So I'm paid to write these. So they're going to be about comics. So on that.
Again, and congratulations, man.
Thank you. Congratulate me when I officially get it, because I haven't heard back yet. So
I do nothing but search through Craigslist all day because I have no life. So
I was skeptical hearing it from Craigslist.
A life of government employee, you know?
I'm not going to lie and say I was skeptical hearing it from Craigslist, but you gave it to me, so I'm going to trust you. So far, the gentleman who emailed me...
If you end up missing, I will take full responsibility, and I'll take all your stuff, because I know you'd want it to be safe.
Okay. I mean, the guy lives in New Jersey, so I would never meet him, but, you know, whatever. As soon as my first post goes live, you guys will hear about it.
Deal.
MarvelousIggy.wordpress.com. Check out that for our fun movie commentaries I do with my best friend Mr. Dragon. Currently we're doing Back to the Future. Last week we did Back to the Future Part 1. This week we did Back to the Future Part 2, and we talked about sort of how Back to the Future Part 2 is basically our current modern day culture in a weird way. And how the movie takes place in the past now, and also why Biff is not only the ultimate dick, but also the ultimate evil. So go take a look at that. And of course, next week, we're going to conclude it with Back to the Future 3. So all in good fun. And last but not least, thegreenlanterncore.com. I'm writing about all the Green Lantern titles as well as Justice League. If you are interested in the Green Lantern state of Green Lantern or Justice League side of things, I'm writing the reviews for them. So go check it out. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Star Trek Beyond was disappointing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it. I liked the last one way better.
Mm. You liked Into Darkness?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Really?
Very much so. Yes.
You're the only person I've heard say that.
I had a lot of fun with that movie. This one, it wasn't bad. It was just, eh. You know, it was the three, you know, out of like five. Whereas Star Trek Into Darkness, as disappointing as it is to know that fucking Abrams lied, I enjoyed that movie. That one would be like a 4.7. This was a 3. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it lower. I'd say this was like a 2.6. It was meh, you know.
Okay. It's better than Ghostbusters. All right.
I'm not even touching it. So
let's close out. We will.
That's what all those meninists said about that movie.
Shut up.
But you know what? A lot of people are agreeing.
I was gonna channel my inner Vince McMahon right there. Shut up. Let's get out of here. We will see you all next week and I promise we will see you all next week, come hell or high water, for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Donald Trump is an asshole. Good night, everybody. Stay marvelous. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.